The world in which we live is one that's often shrouded in darkness. That darkness comes in many forms. Here are some of them. Severe exploitation of one kind or another. Systematic oppression, which we see across the globe in many instances. And searing violence. And there seems to be an incessant and in this hyper-connected world, an instantaneous and desensitizing array of images that just bombard us all the time. And sometimes the net effect of all of that is to cause Christians, us, those whom God calls children of the light, to shrink back and hide from the darkness. But this is not what God wants. This is not what God wants. He has a different course of action for us. As his people who are in the world, but not of the world, he calls us to shine. He calls us to shine so that through us, he can penetrate and push back that darkness and do it and reach this world with the light of the transforming love of Christ. The text for today from the scripture speaks to this truth in a clear and compelling way. And it comes from the mouth of Isaiah the prophet. And here it is. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Now, this word from Isaiah is in the first instance and was a word to Israel. God's call is for Israel to be a light to a world ensnared by darkness. Earlier, God declares this through the voice of that same prophet Isaiah. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, he says to Israel. I will take hold of your hand, I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant people and a light for the Gentiles. This call is reiterated, and it's expanded when the Lord goes on to say, later in this same prophecy, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant and bring back those of Israel I have kept. That's too small a thing for you. I have something bigger in mind, God is saying. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles. Why? That you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Those of you that hang out here know that my favorite theologian is Tom Wright, and he says this about Israel. Israel was the people through whom God intended to shine his light into the world's dark corners. Not simply to show up evil, but to enable people who are blundering around in the dark to find their way. Yet ultimately, what God called a people to do and is doing through a people, he did through a person who came from that people. The one who declared himself to be the light of the world in John 8 and verse 12. One who did not come to do away with the story of that people, but rather to complete it. Through him, the door was opened to Israel, but not only to Israel, but through Israel to the whole world for God's salvation. Tom Wright goes on to say this. He was, speaking of Jesus, the light of the world, set up on a hilltop, crucified for all the world to see, becoming a beacon of hope and new life for everybody, drawing people to worship the Father, embodying the way of self-giving love, which is the deepest fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Now, here's my point. Because this is true, it means that those original words spoken from the mouth of Isaiah as the prophet and oracle of God to Israel are now directly applicable to you and me. And not just to you and me, but to everyone who follows Jesus. The Messiah, the one that was promised to Israel. So those words that I read from Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 3, they should resonate and reverberate in your life. But what does that mean? What is God saying in this scripture? Well, I want you to think of this morning. There are some questions that we can ask about this scripture, about this text, that will help unveil for us what the Holy Spirit is saying now through this prophecy from the past. And these questions have to do with you, they have to do with God, and they have to do with others. And the first is simply this. What do you have to do? Based on this scripture and what Isaiah declares, what do you have to do? The answer is straightforward. Arise, shine, for your light has come. You know what you have to do? You have to arise and shine. Let me give you a little illustration if I can. I used it in the first service. I'm going to do it again in this one. And I'm just going to sip some tea while I do it, if you don't mind. When I was a teenager, and it was a long time ago, I know, but I was once a teenager, and so of you, and some of you that are in the same season of life or close to the one that I'm in, were once teenagers yourself too, and we were all there, if you're not already a teenager here this morning. When I was a teenager, I used to do something that the four teenagers that Ruth and I have had in our home, our kids, also did. I used to like, and that in addition to raiding the refrigerator as often as I could, I used to like to sleep. I used to like to sleep. And especially at the weekends when I didn't have to get up for school, you know. I just didn't want to be bothered by anybody. I want to be asleep in on Saturday until it was time to play football, soccer, until it was time to do that. I just wanted to sleep. And Sundays, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents went to church and wanted me to go with them. And I, for the most part, wanted to go and went. But didn't really want to get up early on a Sunday either. And so what my dad would do was he would come into my room in plenty of time for me to be able to get up, shower, dress, have some breakfast and be ready to go. And he would knock on the door gently. He would come in. He would have a cup of tea in hand. And he would say, Mario, rise and shine. And I don't know if you know this, but that expression that you may have heard before comes actually originally from the mouth of Isaiah the prophet. It's a variant of arise and shine. And what was he trying to do? Get me to get up and engage with the day. This word from Isaiah is a word to God's people, Israel. And what he's saying to them is, don't lie prostrate in an abject place. Arise and embrace the glory of the one that is yours. This is what the Lord is saying to us this morning, I believe. We must arise and shine. We must get up and give light. Yes, I acknowledge there's plenty of darkness in this world. And I would go further and say, yes, at times it seems like the darkness is closing in and smothering the light. But God says to you and me this morning, do not hide from the darkness. Arise and shine. Now, we read those words, we hear those words, and then we look at the magnitude of the darkness around us in this world, and we kind of ask, how? How do I arise and shine? How do I make an impact in a world that's characterized by so much darkness? Well, fortunately, we don't have to guess, because the one who declared himself to be the light of the world gives us the answer. When he was preaching what's become known as the greatest sermon ever preached, biblical scholars refer to it as the Sermon on the Mount, right after Jesus listed all of the Beatitudes, he said this. And look at these words carefully. These are the words of Jesus to those that are his followers. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So how do you arise and shine? You make a decision by faith to get up and confront the darkness. And you do that by being the light. You engage in the stuff of the kingdom. You do kingdom activity. You arise and you shine, and you do it by doing the kingdom. The way to overcome the darkness is not to be fascinated by it or afraid of it, but to rather cast light into it. Jesus is clear about what this looks like. He says, position yourself to emit light. Now, he doesn't use those exact words, but everything he teaches here communicates that truth. Position yourself to emit light. Look, he uses two illustrations, and they're simple and clear. The first one is a city on a hill. And he said, a city on a hill can't be hidden. Most of the cities in antiquity where Jesus, at the time that Jesus lived, and in the location where he lived, many of the cities were made of limestone. White limestone. And when the sun shone, the city would gleam. The buildings would gleam. At night, when the lights from the oil lamps throughout the city burning to give light to the residents of the city were on, there would be light shed around the surrounding area. The city would glow at night. And when you were approaching it from a distance, you would see it on the hill. And there would be that white limestone with all the oil lamps burning in the city. And there would be a glow over the surrounding area. There was no way the city could be hidden. The second illustration that Jesus uses is a lamp. And in those days, oil lamps were the way that people got light. It was their source of light. And he said, look, when you light a lamp, you don't then stick it under a bowl. What's he saying? To stick it under a bowl would be to undermine the objective for lighting the lamp in the first place. No, he said, when you light a lamp, you put it on a stand so that everybody in the house gets illuminated. And having used those two illustrations, I nearly poked myself in the eye then. Having used those two illustrations, a city on a hill and a lamp on a stand, he then says something very important for the application of this truth in our lives. We have to see this. He says, in the same way, As the city is on the hill and cannot be hid, and the lamp is on the stand and gives light to everyone in the house, in the same way, let your light shine before men. Your light is supposed to be seen by others, not hidden. It's not supposed to be shrouded in darkness or hidden from the darkness. It's supposed to be emitting into the darkness. That means you need to position yourself like the city on the hill, like the lamp on the stand. Somebody had to build that city on the hill. Somebody had to put that light, that lamp, on the stand. There was an intentional decision to position the city and to position the lamp, and we have to be intentional about positioning ourselves. Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before men. It won't just happen. We have to position ourselves so that it does. In other words, you must not be hidden from the darkness. You must be exposed to it in order to reveal the light in it and push it back, penetrate it. So my word to you this morning, and to my heart too, is position yourself to shine by getting up and engaging in kingdom activity. Commit yourself to be involved in the purpose of God. Serve. Do those things that God puts in your hand to do. And I'm not going to tell you what they are. That's between the Lord and you. The scripture filled, though, with the call for us to serve in tangible, real ways within the church and through the church into the community. Jesus tells us exactly what doing this in the same way and letting our light shine before men looks like. He spells it out. This is what comes in the next part of that sentence. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. To defeat the darkness in the world around you, you have to arise and shine. You have to get up and emit light. And you do that in the way Jesus defines it, by doing good deeds, by doing kingdom stuff. By helping to see people set free, by helping to see people get healed, by helping to see broken people cared and mended. In whatever way God calls us to do it. We're called to do good, tangible deeds, and they are tangible because Jesus says people will see them, and then they'll give glory to the Father in heaven. That's what you have to do. You have to let your light shine. Let me say this morning. Every act of kindness, every act of generosity, every act of compassion, every act of comfort, every act of giving, every act of healing, every act of encouragement, every act of care, every act of goodness, every act that is rooted in and energized by the light of God's love pushes back the darkness. And that's what God intends. God's intention is not just to let this world go to hell in a handbasket. His intention is to make the light known in the midst of darkness. Isn't this what it says in John chapter 1 that Jesus did himself? Yes, it is. And it's what he calls us to do. But notice the phrase Jesus uses, which is good deeds, not good intentions. You know where the road leads that's paved with good intentions, and it's not heaven. Right? The road to where is paved with good intentions? Not heaven. Jesus doesn't say good intentions. He says good deeds. We can intend all kinds of things and never deliver. This is about action. This is about doing. And it doesn't mean that we are earning ourselves into God's grace. We are saved purely by the grace of God. Not of works, so no man can boast. But when you're saved by the redeeming grace of Christ, James tells us in his epistle, it should be expressed in terms of good works, good deeds. Because faith without works is dead. Deeds, acts, actions are witness to and the manifestation of kingdom light. I want to say to you this morning, do not be a hidden follower of Jesus. It's very easy to do that in this world. And I know you guys have it tougher than I do, because you're working out there in the so-called real world. I'm in a little bit of a kind of, you know, Christian bubble as a pastor. And I have to work at trying to break out of that. You guys are at the sharp end, where many of the people that are around you every day are not Christians. And a lot of the atmosphere that you guys have to encounter is not a kingdom one. But Jesus says, don't be a hidden follower of him. Don't be a passive, somebody else can serve because I'm too busy or I'm too bored follower of Jesus. Do not be a, I'm going to sit around and bemoan the encroachment of the darkness, but lie down in defeat and do nothing about it, follower of Jesus. I see and hear so much of that. That's not what we're called to. We're called to arise and shine. We're called to get up and give the light. We're not called to cower, intimidated by the darkness. We're called to punch through it. Not in our own strength, not in our own power, not with our own light, although it is our own light, as I'll explain in a moment, but with that that comes from God. Look, you can change the world. You can change your world. And I want to say this. This is not like, this is not Mario on some power of positive thinking kick this morning. You can change the world because the Savior of the world lives in you through his Spirit. And he's given you an authority and a power to make that change in his name. We need to wake up, get up, and give the light. All of us. Because the light of God pierces the deepest darkness. It does. There's no darkness that can resist the piercing light of the God of light. He will illuminate people's lives with grace and truth. That's what Jesus came when he did when he came into the darkness. That's what he's empowered us to do. Look, the scripture says that you are a child of the light. That's not my description of who you are. That's God's declaration of who you are. You are a child of the light. Jesus says, let your light shine. Those are his words. But look, let involves your volition. It involves your intentionality. It involves your commitment. It's the last thing the darkness wants, but it's the one thing the world needs, your light to shine. So that's what you must do. What will God do? Well, what does Isaiah say? The Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. This is so exciting. The Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. God meets you with a beautiful promise of his presence and more. When you get up and give light to those around you by faith and in obedience to God's command, then he will rise upon you and appear over you. Now, this is a promise to a people, Israel, first. But for all the reasons I explained at the beginning, those that are now in Christ, this is a word that God declares over you. This means the Lord will meet you when you choose to let your light shine. He will meet you when you choose to do that. He will rise upon you and appear over you with the anointing of his Spirit. As you engage in kingdom activity, doing good deeds in whatever way God calls you to do that. And we're given so much definition about that in Scripture. We're not left to guess at that. Causing others to see that goodness and bring praise to the Father in heaven, you will then have the presence of God working in you and through you. Look, the scripture makes that clear. Paul says this, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." When you are doing good deeds, you are expressing and engaged in God's good purpose. And Paul says, it's God who wills that in you, and it's God who acts in you to make that a reality. Darkness may cover the earth, as Isaiah said. Thick darkness may be over the peoples. And man, is that ever true? But God's personal promise to you is that he will rise upon you and his glory will appear over you. So as you let your light shine by serving him, by doing good deeds before people that will ultimately glorify him, there he will be with you. Didn't Jesus promise that? Before he ascended into heaven, he said to the disciples, when he gave the Great Commission, "I will be with you unto the end of the age." That's a promise of presence. That's a promise of power. That's a promise of purpose from Jesus to us. Paul goes on to say, we can trust and have confidence in that because the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. The truth is, as you shine, God will shine on you because God always shines on his people. As you shine, God will shine on you because God always shines on his people. This is an awesome reality that we need to take hold of this morning. Really, it is. And this is it. God actually wants to share his glory with you. I mean, think about that on this Sunday morning. God wants to share his glory with you. God is in the business of sharing his glory with his people. You're one of his people. Therefore, it's axiomatic. It follows that he wants to share his glory with you personally, as well as with his people corporately. As you let your light shine and so drive back the darkness, you reflect the light of God's glory. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. "And we who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory." What do you reflect with your unveiled face now? The Lord's glory. Are being transformed into his likeness. With ever increasing glory. Not ever diminishing. Ever increasing glory. Which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Look, there's an illumination process going on in and around your life. As you shine, you reflect the Lord's glory, Paul says, to those around you and to those in the world around you. In your workplaces, in the places where you recreate, in your families, in other social contexts that you may be in the neighborhoods and communities where you live and reside and hang out, you reflect the Lord's glory. You touch their lives with the light of Christ. And in process, something happens. You are transformed into his very likeness with ever increasing degrees of glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So what does sharing in the glory of the Lord look like now? We have a glorious future ahead of us. But God is sharing his glory with us now. What does it look like? I believe it looks like this. The empowerment of a Spirit-filled, Spirit-directed life. The reality of spiritual transformation through the present work of the Holy Spirit. And then how that manifests itself in all that we do in kingdom terms. Those are demonstrations and manifestations of our participation in and reception of the glory of God. You have been filled with his presence and power. For a reason, for a purpose. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." Look at this. "Made his light shine in our hearts." to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The one who said at the very beginning of it all, let there be light. And in the authority of that declaration, there was light. Has done that in your heart through Christ. But we have this treasure, Paul says, in jars of clay. Why? To show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. When you rise and shine, God rises upon you. His glory will appear over you. As you shine for Him, He will shine on you, in you, through you. Others will know that the all-surpassing power is not from you and not from me, but from Him. And that's why the glory will redound to Him and not to us. But you know what? We get to share in His glory. There's so much more I could say about that this morning, but for the sake of time, I'll leave it there. The truth is this, though. The more we do that, the more we become like the glorious one. That's what the ever-increasing degrees of glory are. So that one day when we look at Him, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is, and He will be perfectly reflected in us. Lastly, let me finish with this. I've talked about what we've got to do, what God will do. What will others do? This is what Isaiah says. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. I love that phrase. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The prophetic promise is clear. When you shine, God shines on you and others will come to your light. Now, I want you to notice the phrase here. It doesn't say others will come to God's light. It says others will come to your light. Kings will be brought to the brightness of your dawn. Why your light? Why your dawn? Because God's promise to Israel, God's promise to the church, God's promise to you is one of personal possession, both in terms of His light and in terms of His glory. The light you have is your light. It's your light. The light that you received from Christ, that you've absorbed into the core of your being through the presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit. His light has become your light. You are light in Him and because of Him. But it's your light. Paul says this in Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness. Now think about that this morning. You and I, everybody in this room, if you know Jesus now, I'll talk about what that means in terms of your identity in a second. But you were once darkness. Paul was once darkness. Everyone is shrouded in that darkness in their natural fallen state. But when we come into Christ, something happens. And this is what he says. But now you are light in the Lord. You were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Okay, but he doesn't stop there. That's a statement of identity. Now here comes the corollary. The thing that follows from that. That's parallel to it about vocation. And it's this, live as children of the light. It's not enough to have the identity of light. We have to have the vocation, which is live as children of the light, which is what Jesus said when he said in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light shine. He said, don't just be light, shine. You have a new identity in Christ. You're light. You're no longer darkness. When you let your light shine by loving others in action, by doing the good deeds of the kingdom as God leads you to do that, that's exactly what you are doing. John says this to us. Dear children, let us not love with words and tongue, That's not true love. We can use our words and tongue to express love, and we should. But if that's all it is, it's not true. Because he goes on to say, but with actions and in truth. Notice that he allies actions with truth, as opposed to just words and tongue. In other words, when we're called to love, yes, we can use our tongue, we should use words, and God does that himself. But that's not really where love lies. That's a way of articulating it. The way of demonstrating it is through deeds. Good deeds of the kingdom. Having had the light of Christ shine in our hearts, we are now light. So when we shine, and that light emits from our lives to others, we're reflecting who he is. As you live as a child of light, others will be drawn to the light of life, which is Christ. Many will leave darkness. Not everyone. Not everyone. But many will leave darkness because they see light in you. Why? Because the light is attractive. The light is attractive. We were created to bathe in that light. Things got messed up along the way. But that's what people really long for. People really long to want to come into the light, not to live in the imprisonment of darkness. Many will come to the light. The brightness of Christ's love radiating from your life will be like a new dawning in the lives of others. And that's not just a poetic flourish. It will. The brightness of your dawning is what Isaiah said, will mean a whole new day for some people. Look, we're all a work in progress here, spiritually. We're all growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. None of us have arrived, right? We're agreed on that. But I want to say this. Every time people see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control exhibited in some measure, and none of us have got all of those fruits down. We're all growing. But the truth is, whenever they see some of those fruits or all of those fruits in whatever measure emitted from your life, they're seeing the light of God and his kingdom. And it will touch people and it will attract people. You speak a kind word to someone when others have been berating them verbally. There's something that's attractive about that to a person who's been verbally abused. And there's so much verbal abuse that goes on in this world. In person, on the internet, on television. It's just, you speak kindness into someone's life. Look, these things don't have to be monumental things that we do. Life is made up of small moments. But small moments that have a huge eternal significance. When you do a good act for someone, not because you're looking for something from them, but just because your good God who lives in you is causing you to act in goodness towards them for their blessing and favor and benefit, that's attractive to people. It will attract them to the Jesus that's motivating that act. Yeah, it does. It feels totally good, doesn't it? It sucks when someone's being unkind to you. If I can say that expression here this morning, I hope so. That's not good. But when someone's kind to you, you're dead on. When someone's kind and good, it's like, wow, can you bathe me in a little more of that light? I could use just a little more of that. They're not going to get that from darkness. And we have the privilege, even though every single one of us is a fallible human being, and we've got stuff we're working on in our lives, we're light now. We're not darkness anymore. Understand your new identity, but don't stop there. Step into the vocation that goes with it spiritually, which is, in Paul's words, to live as children of the light, to use Jesus' phrase, let your light shine. So let me end this morning with, let me say this. There will be no cultural barriers that can smother the light. Look at what he says, he being Isaiah. Nations will come to your light. I don't care how dark the context of the nation and the nations. People will come from the nations. They will be drawn to the light. What does it say in Revelation chapter 5? I believe it's 5. That's every tribe, language, and nation on the earth will make up that beautiful bride. People in every nation will be drawn to the light. Not everyone, but in every nation, people will be drawn. There will be no cultural barriers to where the light can go, and there will be no status barriers. He says, nations will come to your light, and kings will come to the brightness of your dawn. Look, you don't know what access God may give you into the realms of those that have influence in this world. Don't limit yourself and don't limit what God wants to do through you, because it's about his glory, not yours. If he gives you access into the corridors of power, step in and emit light, because that's where God will want you to be. Let me finish then with this. Arise and shine. Get up and give light. Engage in kingdom activity. Do good deeds because you've been called into God's good purpose. And he's a good God. Secondly, embrace God rising upon you and appearing over you. People will see things in you that you may not at times see in yourself. And you know what that is? That's God being faithful to the promise that he will rise upon you and appear over you. Empowered by the Spirit, demonstrate a kingdom life because you're filled with God's presence. And lastly, draw those that are in darkness. Attract others with the brightness of his presence as you make known a new kingdom dawn in and around their lives. But hear me, you must position yourself to reflect the light. That means you must release your will to the will of God. In the moments that make up the day, in the situations you find yourself in, others will be attracted to the brightness of his presence, and that will be like a new dawn for them. Position yourself, therefore, to reflect that light. Live like children in the light. You know what happens when you do? I've been quoting Paul a lot this morning. I'll finish with a Paul quote. When you do that, you will shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. I just love that phrase. Paul says we can shine like stars in the universe. You know, when you look up at a black sky at night and all that expanse of darkness that's out there, that's huge. It was a night like this recently. Ruth and I stopped on the stoop at the doorstep into the house, and we just stopped and looked up. And the sky, it was a very clear night, clear, cold night. And there was just this vast black expanse, you know. But then there were these bright stars just emitting light. Emitting light in contrast to the expanse of the darkness. Paul says, that's what you'll be like. Jesus says, shine. Shine your light. Live as children of the light. Let's do that. Let's stand this morning. And I want to pray together. And I want to invite those that are assigned to the ministry team, if you'd like to come up. Bob's going to play for us. And I want to give people an opportunity to receive prayer this morning. Can we just pray together? Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you sent light into the darkness. That through Israel, you have made known your salvation unto the ends of the earth. That you used a people to be a light to the Gentiles, to be a light to us. And sent your Son through them to be the light of the world. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that we who were once darkness are now light. And let me say this to you this morning. If you're here and you've never put your trust in Jesus, you can do that today. He can be your Savior and Redeemer, as this song that Bob's playing speaks to. You can come out of a place of darkness into a place of light, always to live there. So I encourage you this morning, if that applies to you, open your heart in this moment and say, Jesus, come, shed your light in my heart, illuminate my life, come and live in me by your Spirit. Make me a child of the light. That's a prayer of your heart this morning. I'm going to be hanging around when we, as the service ends. I'm going to ask you to come down, talk with me. I'd love to pray with you. I have a Bible and some stuff to give you. I'd love to rejoice with you in that commitment. And then for each one of us here, Father, this morning, we pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would stir us to share in your glory in an intentional way, to know that it's your desire that we participate and share in your glory. And through the work and ministry of your Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, that would become a reality as we decide to let our light shine. I pray that you would give people in these moments revelations about how you want them to let their light shine. We're each in different contexts. People have different professions. They live in different places. They have different experiences, Father, but each one of us, you have called as followers of Jesus to let that light shine and show us how to do that in new and creative ways. That we can bring a dawn to people's lives. Not a sunset, but a dawn at the beginning of a day, a place of light. So I encourage you this morning, if you'd like to receive prayer, you come on up. We'd love to lay hands on you and pray for you. And you may be here this morning at needing just the light of God's love to touch you for healing, whether that's healing of your body in a physical way, healing emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Come, let us pray for you. God wants to shine upon you because he loves you. And in that shining, you too will shine on others. If you need prayer for anything else, maybe you need illumination for direction in your life and guidance, something like that. Come, let us pray for you. Father, we love you. We bless you this morning. We commit this word to you. Hide it in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.